I don't tend to take numbers too seriously. Now, there are significant numbers in the Bible, numbers like 3, 7, 12, 40 that occur time and time again, but I'm not someone who would say that, you know, if you added up all those numbers and divided them by the number of chapters in the Bible, you would work out when Christ would return, that sort of thing. So although I don't take numbers seriously in that sense, they have a significance. And this morning, I think we have a fairly significant number as a congregation, and that is the number 5. My appointment as minister is something called 5 years reviewable tenure. That means the presbytery come every 5 years and review to see whether or not a minister is sustainable in this congregation. We have, in the process of being made, the local church review mission plan. I'll say more about that in a moment, but it's supposed to give us a plan for 5 years. And as we've just heard from Mary, if our finances are left unchanged, we have about 5 years of money left, although realistically it's probably less than that. So that's 3 times that we have heard 5 years. 3 times. Now, if that's not a reason for us to pay attention, I don't know what is. I believe that what God is saying to us as a congregation today is that as your God, I am giving you 5 years. And in those 5 years, you will have a minister. In those 5 years, you will have the finances to keep going. And in those 5 years, you will have a mission plan that I will help you put together. And in those 5 years, you have a choice. You follow the mission plan I am giving you and see the fruits of your labors in 5 years' time. Or you do nothing, and in 5 years' time, your congregation will cease to be. And who can blame God for giving us that choice? Because God doesn't need churches that don't follow him. God doesn't need churches that ignore his plan and do their own thing. God needs churches that will do as he asks. And that is the choice that God is giving us today. Are you going to do it my way and see the fruits of your labors? Or are you going to do it your way, and in 5 years' time, you can close the doors and wrap things up in this place? I appreciate that that's a fairly stark choice, and that's because it is a stark choice. There's no way to dress this up. And there's nothing to be gained by dressing this up either. We may as well be realistic and honest about the situation we face. But that does not mean that we become hopeless, because there is still encouragement to be had. And that is why our reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, because I believe that in this passage we have the encouragement that we need from God to go and to do things his way and to believe that by doing so, we will flourish. Ephesians 4 begins with Paul encouraging Christians to live in a way which reflects their claims to be followers of Jesus. They're to be united with one another. They're to be a force for good in this world. And he then goes on in this passage, having expressed the importance of Christian unity and the importance of Christians being a united witness for him, to explain how it is that the Ephesians can work for God. He begins, first of all, by talking about the work for God being achieved through Christ in verses 7 to 10. Paul talks about grace being apportioned by Christ and about Christ descending into this world. These are classic phrases that remind us of Jesus' primary mission: to come into this world, to die upon a cross to save us from our sin, to rise to new life, to say to all of the world, there is new life to be had. He ascended into heaven to be with God the Father. He will one day come back down. Paul says he ascended. Christ will descend once more from heaven to bring God's plan to fruition, to make the new creation happen, to finally deal with all of the consequences of sin. So when we think about working for God in the church, we begin by recognizing that it is first achieved by Christ. It is achieved by his work upon the cross and in his resurrection, but it is also achieved through his empowering of us. Paul talks about Christ ascending with captives. He talks about giving gifts to his people in that quotation from the Psalm. And in doing so, what he is saying here, I think, and certainly according to the commentaries that I consulted, he's reminding the church that Christ gives us gifts that we are to use in his service. See, each one of you here today has gifts that you can use in the service of God. For the sake of our American friends with us this morning, in Scotland, we are bad at saying how good we are at things. If someone says to you, you're good at that, you go, oh, no, I'm no. I'm maybe all right at it. Well, no. The Bible tells us that God has gifted his people to serve him. That means that there are things that you are good at. And if that grates against your west of Scotland nature, good, because that's something that needs to change. We all need to recognize there are ways that God has gifted us to serve him in his church. And we need to be able to be a little bit better at recognizing our own gifts. And perhaps we also need to be better at encouraging gifts in other people. Because if you're someone that finds it hard to accept that you're good at something, maybe you need to hear it from someone else saying, actually, you could be good at that. We all have gifts. That's why in verses 11 to 12, the implication of Paul's words is that the work of the church is to be carried forward by us. We read about those five different ministries, sometimes called the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, some people believe that those five ministries are still happening today. Others say that they happen for a season. Regardless of what you think about the whether there is exact parallels to today or not, what is important for us today is that in Ephesians 4, Paul identifies plural gifts. He identifies several ministries that Christ created. And if Christ created several ministries, then at the same time, he must have called several people. And so it reminds us today, as we work for God in his church, that we're all to be involved in that work. Indeed, those five ministries were created to equip his people for works of service, verse 12. You could fit me into the category of pastor and teacher quite easily because of my role in this congregation. But that means then that my role is not to be the sole person that carries forward the work of the church. My role is to equip his people, i.e. all of you, for works of service. So there's no get out. There's no way that anyone can say, ah, but that's what the minister does. Because we're all called to serve in God's church. If the work of this congregation was left up to me, we would be nosediving at a much faster rate than we are. Because I barely have time to do the things that the minister has to do, never mind all the other things that the minister can't do. It requires all of us to be involved in the work of the church. Why have we all to be involved? Why is it necessary that it's not just left to a few? We're all to be involved in helping the church fulfill her calling, verse 13. Paul talks about the people of God reaching maturity, reaching full knowledge of the Son of God, and a whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, those act upon us on a personal level as we are all conformed into the likeness of Christ. But if the church is doing that all together, then the work and witness of the church is being fulfilled. because it is the purpose of the church to be God's hands and feet in our world. It is the purpose of the church to go and to tell of the good news of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And if we're all doing that together, then we're all playing a part in helping the church fulfill that calling. And that's why we all need to do it. A number of weeks ago, we were reflecting together on the impact of Billy Graham's ministry. And we were saying together how one man was able to impact millions of people. And I said then, and I say it again today, if millions of people committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you wouldn't need a worldwide mega ministry like that. Because all we'd need to do is each take two or three people each. If 1 million people share the gospel with two or three folk, immediately that's 4 million. And if they do it again, you can increase that exponentially. If everyone plays their part in being involved in the ministry of the church. Now that gives us a sense of working in the church, worldwide church, the church of Jesus Christ. But I want to share with you briefly a couple of ways in response to what we've heard already, how we are trying to encourage the ministry of this church in Clinkert Hill in this part of Glasgow. You've heard mention already on a couple of occasions local church review. Well, this is it in its paper form. The local church review, for those of you who have been involved in church for a while, this takes the place of what was known as the quinquennial visit. And together, myself, along with the elders and the members of the board, have done parts 1 to 3, which look at the history of the congregation and look at the current state of the congregation. And on Thursday, we're meeting with Presbytery to do part 4. And part 4 is planning for the future. It's our mission plan, and it's a 5-year mission plan. Now, in response to an email that we got from Presbytery, we now know that it's not just for the trustees, but anyone is welcome at this meeting. So if you're free on Thursday at 7 o'clock, please come and contribute your thoughts and your ideas to the vision of this congregation. I have a lot of faith in this mission plan because we've considered it carefully and prayerfully. And I believe if we keep doing that, we will have something substantial to work for God over the next 5 years. But we need to all play our part in contributing to that so that we know what God wants us to do in the future. The other thing that we're trying to do is encourage more people to serve in specific ways in the congregation. In case you have difficulty reading the caption above that skeleton, it says, and then the pastor said, we just need you to do this job until we find someone else. Now, isn't that the way in churches? We say, we just need you to do this job until we find someone else, and then you're in it for the rest of your life. That's what it can feel like. And that's been a reality for churches for a very long time. And it's because this is a reality for churches that people become less inclined to commit to service because they don't want to be in it for the rest of their life. And that's why we're going to try something else. I apologize for how small that looks on the screens. This is a different church structure, and I know that immediately using those words will have put some of you to sleep. But at the moment, we operate with a Kirk session and a congregational board, and both of them have to basically cover everything in our congregation. What we are looking at the moment is establishing a series of teams who will take on more specific tasks within our congregation. Rather than one group having to do everything, you'll have one team that has to do a small thing and a focused thing. And you don't do it on your own. You're part of a team with different people, all of you doing the same thing. Now, that means that you don't need to be involved in bits of church life which really just don't do it for you. It means you can be involved in the bits of church life that give you passion, that you're excited about, that you're gifted in. And because you're part of a team, it also means that you don't need to serve for the rest of your life. You serve as long as you feel a useful part of that team, and when you need to step down, you can step down because there are other people there to help you and to carry that forward. Now, we still need to do a lot of work on this structure before we bring a formal proposal to you. This has been discussed with the Kirk Session and Board, but we need to tweak it. We need to do a lot more kind of background work before we can bring it to you and say, this is the direction we want to move in. But I'm hopeful that we can have something to you before the summer break. But I share this with you now because I want you to start asking yourselves a question. Now, the question is not, which would you like to serve on a team? That's not the question. The question I want to ask you today is, on which team will you be serving? Because to carry the work of this congregation forward, we need everyone. We need everyone to play a part in this ministry. So it's not, I mean, we won't force you to be on a team if you really, really, really don't want to. But I don't want us to think that serving in God's church is somehow optional. We're all called to serve. And so I want you to consider, what team would you serve on if you were asked? And you will be asked. The last thing that we can all do is pray. This is our theme for the year from 1 Thessalonians, pray continually. It's why we're doing the prayer course at our evening services, to encourage prayer. But prayer is what upholds the work of this church. It is the foundation of everything that we do. So even if you aren't able to serve on a team, if you're not as able as perhaps you once were, you're not as active as you once were, that's okay, because you can pray. And the prayers of the people of God are the most important thing for the ministry of His church. I need prayer. The elders need prayer. The board needs prayer. If we go to the new structure, the teams would need prayer. We need you to be praying for this church. And so I encourage you, as we look at how we develop our prayer lives in this congregation, to be praying for us and for one another. Now, I realize that a lot of that is focused on the work of this church. And for those who are visiting today, you might think, well, what's in this for me? Well, if you're visiting today and you're not part of another congregation, but you want to be part of what we do here, speak to us. Find out more about the Christian faith. Find out more about what we stand for as a church. You can speak to me, but I appreciate the clerical collar can be off-putting, so speak to the welcome team. However, if you're already involved in another congregation and you're just passing through, the question for you this morning is, how am I serving God in the place that He has placed me? There are undoubtedly challenges ahead for our congregation. This morning we have some practical ways in which we can move forward, but ultimately, if we are not looking to God and obeying Him, these things will come to nothing. His way must be our priority, and only then will we see the fruit of our work. To carry God's work forward, we need everyone. It cannot be left to me or the elders or any one particular group. We are all followers of Jesus, and so we are all called to serve His church. No act of service is too small. We need everyone. And I'm confident that if we work together for God, we will be able to see great things happen in this congregation, in this part of Glasgow. Let us pray. Lord, we feel that we are at this junction in the journey of this congregation. We have two options: do it our way or do it your way. We confess, Lord, that doing things your way will be the more challenging way because it will require us to go and to do the things you call us to do. Doing it our way would be easy. We would just do nothing. But Lord, we pray that you would help us in this congregation to get behind the vision that you are giving us and to be prepared to do the mission that you need us to do, not for our own sake, not so that we can say, look at how brilliant we are as a church, but so that in 5 years' time we can celebrate and give thanks for the fruit of our labors, for the blessing that you have given us as a church. And Lord, we pray for those who are not part of this church, but part of churches elsewhere. Through them, may you bless the work of those congregations. May your whole church be encouraged to get behind your mission, to build your kingdom, and to be your people in this world. Help us all in this endeavor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.